Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the fountain of all wisdom. You know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and for our blindness we cannot ask. We pray this through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Woe to you, shepherds, who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will rise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his day, Judea will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The portion of the Psalter assigned to this occasion is Psalm 23. We will read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul, and guides me along right. Shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff that make my comfort. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my mouth is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me in all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles, by birth called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at one time without Christ, being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new harmony in place of the two, thus making peace and mighty reconciliation both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and alien, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The apostles, they gathered around Jesus and they told him all that they had done and taught. Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going, and they recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Many who saw them going recognized them and hurried there on foot. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So yesterday was a big day in my family with Casey and Simon. I've been telling Casey, probably since Simon was born, that when Simon laughs for the first time, it needs to be me that provoked that laugh. Because I am the funny man in our family. Now, there's a potential that yesterday was not the first time that Simon laughed, because Casey would be kind enough to not tell me about it. But yesterday, Simon, I think he's teething. He's got the whole ornery cry thing going on. And I don't even know what I said to him. Probably a really good joke that was sophisticated. And he let out this big giggle. And it was just this moment for the... Casey and I were together there, and we saw it and heard it, and it was quite a moment. And I remember thinking a little bit after that that, okay, so here are the God moments, right? Here are the moments that we do this whole religion thing. This is why we do this thing for, is to celebrate, to honor, to name these moments in which, in a physical way, we come in contact with the kind of joy that lets us know that God is around and about us. And maybe that's what the whole gospel is about. To believe, to trust, to proclaim that God shows up, not just in some spiritual way, which is a good way to show up, but also in a physical way, in a tangible way, in a way in which we come close to God. And what that means, of course, for our lives as we move in and out, as we suffer the pains and anxieties and setbacks and losses and failures and weaknesses and all the things that give us question about our place and our security in this world, as we experience those things, we know that in a moment when we hear a baby laugh or come in contact with somebody that we love or share a laugh or share a good story or get held tightly by somebody who cares about us deeply or share a meal with friends or sit out on a porch with the evening breeze and the sound of the bugs in the distance, in those moments we feel surrounded by the Holy Spirit, and it gives us the confidence to do the things that we need to do to make sure that we proclaim in this world that God is up to something, even in the dark and difficult moments. In the gospel reading today, we find ourselves in this weird place in between two stories. And I have to do a little work here, so you have to bear with me. And I'm just going to apologize for that right up front. But I got to tell you what's going on in the gospel. So if you don't remember, last Sunday we were in this place where we saw Jesus send out the 12 on this missionary journey in which they were to go into places proclaiming good news, healing folks, casting out demons, and they weren't supposed to take anything but a staff. That was it. And when they came back, people were so enthralled, so enthused, so touched, so brought up, so caught up in this movement of healing and life and love and togetherness that everybody was hearing about it, including the then sort of leading person of that area, Herod. Okay, and Herod, when he hears about this righteousness that's happening, he has a flashback, which is weird. I think, I could be wrong, somebody correct me, This is the only flashback in the Gospels. But there's a flashback. Like, you know, when in television, when you're watching television, and all of a sudden there's a show and it goes black and white, and you know, okay, they're going back in time. Unfortunately, there's no black and white when you're reading the Gospels, so you just have to, like, envision it. And the flashback is to when Herod ordered the death of John the Baptist. So the scene is, Herod is at a meal. You all remember this from, I know you were here and dutifully listening to the gospel lesson last Sunday, and you remember this, and I don't have to go over it, but just in case, I need to say that. So what was happening was, there Herod was at this dinner that he had thrown for all the people that were important, including his wife and his stepdaughter, and it was this sort of air. This dinner had this atmosphere of opulence and power and doing the things that you have to do to sort of the fanfare of keeping power going. And Herod's daughter dances for the crowd, and Herod says, "I'll give you anything." She goes and asks her mom, and the mom says, "John the Baptist. Want him his head on a platter." This Sunday, we get this story. Bear with me here. We get this story where Jesus is going about, and he calls his disciples back in from this missionary trip that they've been on, and he says, "We need to take it easy because we've been doing a lot," but they don't get the chance to take it easy. Instead, all these crowds come among them, and I know why. But it's sort of strange that the people who frame the lectionary skip. If you look in your little bulletin here, let me see this, and you turn to where the gospel is, page 5. Notice that we go 6 verses 30 through 34. Then we skip a whole bunch of verses there, like 9 verses, right? And then 53 through 56. Well, let me just tell you what happens in those skip verses. Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 2 loaves and a fish. That's what happens. He also walks on water. That's kind of important too. But that all happens right in those short verses. And for some reason, the lectionary skipped that. But what's happening is all these folks, they're going ahead to where they think and hope that Jesus is going to be, right? And then Jesus sets for them a dinner. And so what we have is 2 dinners, right? The dinner that Herod had with all the anxiety, and the dinner that Jesus has with these folks. Both dinners are full of people who are desperate, right? The dinner with Herod has Herod himself, who is all worried about his own power and his own authority and his own standing in the world. Herod's wife, who is worried about what John the Baptist is saying about her, and all these people who are trying to hold on to their place and their power. A lot of anxiety there. And then we have a dinner here where people have shown up, have come from farms and country and countryside, and they have gathered around Jesus. The gospel tells us it's 5,000 plus women and children, so 5,000 men plus women and children, so an untold number of folks who have gathered there that Jesus feeds. And so there's 2 dinners. At one dinner, it ends with death on a plate. The other dinner ends with hope. And I wonder, and life and joy and the meeting of needs. And I wonder what the difference is between these 2 dinners. I wonder what it is. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded, because I was thinking about the anxiety that existed in both those places, right? The anxiety that exists in this room. I bet if I unpacked the little lives in here, I would see setbacks, broken relationships, troubles, things that we have a hard time forgiving ourselves for, failures of our own, anxieties that we carry. But also joys and hopes and connectedness and loves and places where God showed up at the last minute. I bet these lives in this room are full of those stories. But collectively, as a church, we carry that too, right? We carry this anxiety of what's going to happen to us? Where are we going from here? Why aren't people, Robert Sage, going to church? That's, you know, maybe that's just me thinking that. I don't know about you. You know. And we're carrying our own anxieties, but we're also carrying the knowledge and joy that God has shown up in this place as we've sung and baptized babies and met new folks and built lifelong relationships. It's this duality that we're holding here in this place too. I was thinking about this, the anxieties, wondering about the 2 dinners, how we have this kind of dinner, right? The 5,000 fish and 2 loaves dinner. versus the Herod weird dancing and head on a platter dinner. We don't want that dinner. Nobody wants that dinner. Okay. So how do we have this dinner instead? I was remembering when I was in Minneapolis. I traveled there in a previous job that I worked for the bishop's office. I was doing congregational vitality, whatever that means, and found myself seeing some ministries that were going on in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And I saw these really incredible, neat things, like this little Lutheran church who they literally built the highway through their backyard, cut them off from half their community. And they had suffered some serious decline. And the homeless person was living in their basement. And they hired this priest, and they told the pastor, they said, "We want you to get the homeless person out of our basement." That's kind of why they hired him, right? "We need you to get the homeless guy out of our basement." And which makes you think, why didn't they do that themselves? So the pastor, in all of his wisdom, he went down and talked to that homeless person. Turns out he was a chef. They started a restaurant there called Soup for You. They fed people free soup now going back 5 years, right? So that happened. I met this woman who's Baha'i. That's a religion. Baha'i is sort of a religion that it's born in Israel. It's taken some of what's good about all the Abrahamic faiths, the Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, and sort of combined them and created this hybrid thing that's really beautiful and centered on community. And I think there's one in Hickson. Right? There's a Baha'i community in Hickson, right? Anyway, there was this lady who, they had lost their place of worship, this Baha'i group in Minneapolis. And so this woman opened her home, and you go down in her basement. So she hosts dinner every 11 nights. Can you imagine trying to schedule your world like that? Every 11 nights, she hosts a dinner and invites whoever, including people from the Baha'i community, and they consider things about spirituality and what's going on in their lives, and they have a big conversation, and she has chalkboards all around her house where she writes a guiding question for the conversations. And you go down in her basement, and there's like, it's like wall-to-wall pasta, because she serves a pasta dinner every 11 nights for all these, and literally, we were there on one of these things, 89 people were there, and it was like winter in Minneapolis, and people had walked there to her house. So I saw that. The story that I really want to tell you about, though, is there's this little Presbyterian church, and it's called Andrew Riverside. Not St. Andrew. That's an Episcopal thing. Do not put that on them. All right? It's Andrew Riverside, and I think it's named after somebody whose last name was Andrew, and then it's near a river. So Andrew Riverside, Presbyterian Church, PCUSA Church. And they had been there forever, like late 19th century. Look, I'm already upsetting Simon in this sermon. Just stick with me, Simon. It gets better. I promise. I promise, buddy. So they had built this huge Gothic building in the mid-19th century, and it had Tiffany windows, and it was just this gorgeous building. And I think it took up a block and a half, a city block and a half, but they owned 2.5 city blocks. So they had this huge tract of land sort of downtown near the university. And of course, what happened to them is kind of what has happened to many places, right? Where over the years, one generation hands off the work and the love and the care of the building to another generation, and that generation was a little bit smaller, and then that generation handed it to another, and that generation was a little bit smaller, so they got to the point where the generation was so small that they couldn't really do the work that they needed to do to keep the building up. And then one fateful day in 2002, one of the main supporting walls in the building collapsed, and they were homeless. They had no place to worship, and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so they started raising money. They're like going to their partners and other PCA churches and talking to folks and saying, "How are we going to do this? How are we going to?" And they raised some money, but then the city came in and said, "Sorry, you're going to have to tear this building down. There's no way to reinforce it structurally." It felt like this kind of dinner, right? That's what it felt like at that moment. How do we have this kind of dinner? When I read the gospel, what I see, the difference is, Herod is nowhere near Jesus in righteousness and what's going on. But the people at this dinner, they looked ahead to where Jesus is going to be, and they physically showed up there. They went there physically. Ahead of him, trusting that God was going to do something through this this human being, that they didn't really know who he was, but he was powerful and he was doing these wonderful things. The other night, or last night, I put myself in the way of Simon, and I made funny faces at him until he laughed at me. Because that's what we do. We physically put ourselves in the place where God is going to show up. We know how to do that. You all know how to do that. We as a church know how to do that. We can do that together. We can have a conversation and figure out where Jesus is heading into this world, and we can show up there. Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of Andrew by the river story. I'm going to tell you the rest of that story. One of the last times I preached this story at a church in Knoxville, one lady came up to me after church and she goes, "What happened to that Tiffany window?" I was like, "Did you listen to any of the sermon?" Oh my gosh. So I'm just warning you, do not ask me about the Tiffany. I don't know what happened to the Tiffany window. That's not the point of the story. Okay, so here's what happens. That little group of people got together and they said, "What is God up to in this place?" And they went and talked to their neighbors. And they said, "What are the needs?" And it was housing. It was student housing. And so they sold the property to a developer. And they said, "Here's the deal. You can have it. You can have it. It's yours for free." We're talking like 3 city blocks. "You can have this. The deal is, though, you build a building that looks sort of like this. We get the first floor free or for $1 a year. And you save us, I think it was 20 units in the apartment to give the students in need." And it was a done deal. I mean, any developer would have jumped at it because it was immediately profit, right? And now, I'm not going to tell you it's been like rainbows and sunshine for them. They've had to work at regaining a little community. And I think there's 3 worshiping communities meet there. I'm going to mess up this word. Taekwondo. Did I say that right? Okay, there's that going on in the building. There's all this stuff going on in that building. But that's what they did. They thought, what are the needs here? And it was student housing, that there was just this crunch and that the poorest students weren't getting housing. They were living out of their cars going to the university. And so that's what they did. They found a way to meet Jesus where he was. We can do that work together in our individual lives, right? In the lives of our parish, we can do that. And we will find that our lives will continue to have anxieties and troubles and problems. But the difference is that we trust. We learn how to trust together. That if we make silly enough faces, God will laugh at us. Amen. Please stand or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of God. Pray that they may find and be found by God. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. At this time, I ask your prayers and thanksgiving, either silently or aloud.
We pray for people in Haiti.
We especially pray for J.R., Pat, Kelly, Barry, John, Susie, Joycey, Jacqueline, John and Jenny, Mary, Elaine, Jan and Doug, Priscilla and Greg, Pat, Derek, Noah, Michelle, Cindy, Mary Ann, Anna Mae, Pete and Paula, Richard and Margaret, Gail, Dan, Marty, the large family, Anka, Ginger, Kyle, and Richard.
Chuck Perkins.
Yes.
Short.
Alexander. Chuck Carpenter.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people and the multitude of your mercies. Look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So a couple of things to talk about. A week from today at 12 o'clock, we will have our second parish forum, and it's going to be an important conversation around going forward with how we're going to worship and some plans around sustainability. And the vestry really is interested in getting some information from you so that they can come back together and make some plans. So I know there's been a lot of meeting, but it's important to come together as we're in this crucial stage of coming out of the pandemic and figuring out how we're going to move. That's next Sunday in the parish hall. There will be lunch provided. Come join us. Today, communion, a couple things. One is we're going to invite folks to come up. We used to do back in the old days before the pandemic. Around the altar like you used to, there will be a paten and a chalice. Of course, you do not feel compelled to take the chalice. You can receive in one kind, but if you'd like, the chalice is an option. But if you'll cross your arms when the chalice comes around, then we will the chalice bearer will know that you don't want the chalice. So another thing about communion is that I'm going to invite children, anybody who wants to come during the Eucharistic prayer up around the altar, there's space for you up there. So I'll give you the signal. Just come on up and join us for the Eucharistic prayer. And I'm going to say a couple things about what we're doing up here. So be ready for that. Be ready for that. Linda.
An announcement. Last week I gave out cards and for your favorite hymns. So this week they're in the narthex. There's a basket there and some pencils. So please put your favorite hymn on the card and put your name on it if you would. I'd kind of like to know who's doing that. And so put as many as you want. If you put them last week and want to put them again this week, please do. I love
even if it's a Little Richard song, we put our name on it.
Well, yeah, well, okay. You know, I probably, whenever I might look for it. Thank you.
And I just have a quick announcement about the food pantry. On the spreadsheet where you can go in and volunteer, if three slots are filled and three people have volunteered for that weekend, it says on at the top, slots are filled. By no means does that mean that we don't want anybody else who may want to come and help us to come. When it was set up, it just had three slots. And so I just didn't want anybody to go in there and see slots are taken and then feel like that you could not come if you wanted to and still help us, because the more hands, the better. Thank you.
Thanks. The food pantry clients are asking for individual drinks. If you want to bring those, like water and Gatorade and sodas and those sorts of things. Also, dog stuff, like dog treats and dog food and dog bowls and those sorts of things would be helpful. All right. So at this time, if you want to come join us up at the altar, come up. Wait. What's going on? What are we pointing at? Oh, Deb. Go ahead.
Just want to remind everybody that we are accepting donations and donations for floral arrangements, so things are getting back to normal.
Right.
Next Sunday, we will have the sign-up sheet in its old location on the file room door. So please keep that in mind. See this morning that we're still doing that, and please take management.
Thank you, Dad. Thanks. All right.
Thank you.
which is a fancy word that means wash your hands, or I wash my hands. Okay. Thanks, Gene. All right. So the first thing we do when we do communion together is we ask all these people to stand up with us, because we're all praying together. So when we do communion prayer, we're actually doing a prayer as one group of people. I'm going to say some words, but we're all praying this thing together. And so we have these pictures from a long, long time ago of people doing this. I'm talking like more than 1,000 years ago. And guess what the people are doing in the pictures? Which looks a little strange, right? This looks strange. Let's all do this. Can we all? I'm looking out there. People aren't enthusiastic about it. Okay. All right. So this is called a ronze, which is a special word that means prayer. It's like prayer hands. So that's what I call it. Instead of calling it a ronze, I call it prayer hands. And since this looks all stiff and wooden, what I do is I go like this, kind of loosen it up just a little bit. So if you want to pray like this, you're welcome to pray like this, or you can put your hands down to do it. But I'm gonna do this. And that's why I'm trying to keep everybody together. That's what these hands are. I'm trying to keep us all together as a big community. And so the first thing I do is remind us that God is here in the room with us. So I say to everybody, the Lord be with you. Okay. And then I talk about what we're about to do. And this is called sursum corda, another Latin word, which means raise up your hearts. And so I say, lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord to show forth your glory in all the world. Now, in the book of Revelation, they show us how people in heaven do this. And when people in heaven are doing this, they sing a song. And we're about to sing that song. So I say, therefore we pray, the people in the Bible do, joining our voices with angels with all the company of heaven who are forever singing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Now, since we were singing together, I keep my hands together. But now that I'm going to do something, say something by myself, I put my hands apart to show that everybody's together in this. And this part of the prayer is called the amanesis, which is a fancy word that means to remember, because it's important that we remember what God has done for us in the past. So I say, we give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, and the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. Now, the next part is called the words of institution. And that's, you just have to remember this when I give you the test next week. There's no test. But the words of institution are over the bread. They help us institute the bread and the wine. So this part is about the bread and the wine. So I say, on the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. So this part we all do together. So my hands are going to be apart. And then I say, therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. So this next part is called the epiclesis. And again, fancy word that means the coming down of the Holy Spirit. So we got to get Holy Spirit hands together. So at the moment, can we all try this? Okay, so I'm going to tell you when to do that. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Okay, are y'all ready? We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. We also call the Holy Spirit down upon us. So we say, unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude, Thaddeus, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours. So wait a minute. So I want you to see something here. See this word? See that word right there? See this word right here? Can y'all tell me what's different about that word than the rest of the words? It's in all capitals. Somebody over here said it too. Yeah, it's all capitals. And that's because that's the great amen. It's the most important amen in the whole liturgy. And the reason it's so important is because this bread and this wine become the body and blood of Jesus. We all pray together and say, and the word amen means I agree. So at the amen together, which means we agree. And so we together, not me alone, but we together as a group, we are consecrating, we are making holy, we are turning this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And so we say, by him and with him in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So this part of the service, this part of the Eucharistic prayer is called the fraction. Does anybody know what that word, weird word means, fraction? What does it mean? Yes, exactly. Something that is cut in half, that's broken, right? And so it's kind of this part of the service where we remember that part of the story about Jesus is that Jesus became human and was broken in sort of the same way that we sometimes are broken. And so we remember that God came among us and was broken with us by doing this.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ our Passover has sacrificed for us, therefore let us eat the feast. Alleluia, alleluia.
So this next part of prayer is called the invitation. And just like if you had a big dinner party at your house, you would send out invitations, right? When Casey and I got married, we sent out invitations. And so this is what the invitation sounds like. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All right. And then you all can go and sit with your parents and then come back up. the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world of peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you these days and remain with you always. Torch. into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.